What does it take to see change? Well, we'd all like to see change in our lives, our families, our neighborhoods, our people, their friends that we know don't know the Lord, or maybe they do, but they don't seem to see the power in their lives, or perhaps you don't see the power in your life. There's a lot of reasons that can be behind that, and they're really simple things that we are going to talk about right now so that we can walk in the victory in the way that we are created to walk, the way God has designed us to walk, to see His kingdom come on earth just like it is in heaven. That is His will. Someone asked, join me right now. Heavenly Father, we just come before You and we ask right now that Your holy presence would just come on this tape, come over every person that's listening to it. I ask, Holy Spirit, for Your anointing of revelation just fall on every ear over and come through my mouth in the name of Jesus. And I release the host of heaven to go and smash every stronghold of the enemy that would try to come against every person that's listening to this, that would keep them from hearing the truth, that will set them free and help them run. Lord, help us run for You. Help us to be everything You've called us to be in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. And we all said amen, right? Yay. Woohoo! That's what they say in heaven. So let's look at this. Two things, two keys, six steps. Simplified. Here we go. The first thing is we've got to recognize sin. That's the first thing. We've got to recognize what is sin. Deal with it God's way. The second is we want to move in the way we're created to, the way Jesus said we could. So let's start with this. Six steps to walking as true manifested sons and daughters of the Most High. And I said previously, to recognize sin is number one. We're going to go through a little bit about what is sin. Sin in the Hebrew has a lot of different meanings. We're getting rain here, so you may hear it as I'm talking. But there's three of them are intent oriented. And one is talking about intentional sin. Another is talking about to just sin. Another one is like missing it or being careless or ignorant of something and we sin. Okay, so there's different kinds. They're not all lumped into one big basket, all right? So here we go. We have three things within this that we need to do to deal with this sin issue. First off is to forgive others. The Lord says He won't forgive us if we don't forgive them. How do I know that? Well, Jesus said, Father, forgive us as we forgive them. You need to look at some of the scriptures that kind of surround this whole issue and matter of sin. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15 is a good one to take a look at. And you'll see that if we don't forgive others, we're not going to be forgiven. So that's important to make sure you forgive people of everything that they've done to you. Whether or not they have come to you or asked for it, just forgive them. The power within that is incredible. You guys, you know, you release them to Him and He can deal with them. And it's a power move. It's a great. If I were saying this is a game of chess in life, this would be a huge power move to forgive them. Trust the Lord with their outcome because He loves them greatly. And even go a step further, I would say ask Him to please forgive them as well. That will put you into a place where you can receive His great love, His extravagant love in ways you've never known before. It will surprise you. It will shock you. I mean, I have a testimony where I had forgiven someone that should have been dealt with. I mean, if I shared the story, you'd say, well, golly, they should have to pay for that. Or that I can't believe they got away with that. You know, and some of us all have somebody or something in our lives that's happened like that. But I chose to forgive them and I asked God to forgive them. And when I saw them later on, I was so surprised at my response when I saw them. I hugged them and told them how much I loved them. I remember getting into the car after that. I saw the surprised look on their face when I hugged them, by the way. It was just a shock. They were absolutely shocked. They didn't know what to say. But I got into the car and I said, God, I can't believe I did that. My flesh would have normally wanted to bonk them on the head for the stuff they'd done because it was really bad. But instead, I felt this enormous love just well up and flow out of me. And He spoke to me, said, that's my love coming through you. And I suddenly realized I was healed of that issue. And I didn't need to go over it again. He just wanted me to learn from that. I thought, that is so wonderful. What a wonderful lesson. I often see that we're God has healed our hearts regarding others, we might run back into them or that same issue to confrontation, and He will show you the depth of your heart at that moment, and you will be surprised at what God will do. And if it still hurts, then keep, you know, just go back and say, I really don't want to hold this against him, and I forgive him. Will you forgive him, Lord, too? Help this to be healed in me. He will. Okay? Then you got to forgive yourself. It's a second commandment. Love others as you love yourself. The deal is, you cannot love yourself, you cannot love others if you don't. See, if we're always beating ourselves up over our past mistakes, we're not really remembering how Jesus took away our sins. It's like we're not forgiving us. So you have to forgive yourself. Okay? Until we make things right in ourselves by loving ourselves, we cannot love others, not really. When we forgive others, when we forgive ourselves, then we can repent, change our actions, because His love is then able to flow through us, just like the testimony I shared with you. Okay? Next, seek forgiveness from others. Matthew 5:23-24. Try to make things right by asking forgiveness of those whom you've offended or injured. This is confessing that you're wrong and you're sorry for hurting them or offending them, whether or not they receive it. You do it before God and make sure it's with the right mindset and attitude, in other words. Okay? And number two, so first off, we've recognized sin in our life and we've forgiven people. The second step is to ask the Lord forgiveness of all our sins as we forgive everyone that's sinned against us. That's the Lord's Prayer. That's how He taught us to do this. I didn't come up with this, folks. This is what Jesus told us. Forgive others. He will forgive you. You ask Him to forgive you, and He will. He will cleanse you. I always ask Him to apply the blood of Jesus to my heart and to remember my sins no more. I ask Him for that, and He does. He does. All right, so then number three, the next step. Loose from your soul everything that has been sticking to it. Believe me, if you've heard bad things or said bad things, seen bad things or done bad things or had them done to you or spoken to you, they're stuck in your many-layered soul and need to be removed. This is something that happens supernaturally but begins as an act of our will. So choose, as an act of your will, to loose. Here's examples. All darkness, fear, doubt, unbelief, anger, offense, negative words, word curses that you've spoken or had spoken to you, all disease, infirmities, injuries, trauma, destruction, theft, poverty, lack, oppression, depression, anxiety, stress, worry, false burdens, ungodly soul ties, pride, greed, rebellion, witchcraft, control, manipulation. Those all go with witchcraft, by the way, and rebellion, perversion, and anything else that comes to mind that is evil. And as an act of your will, say, I choose to loose it. I choose to loose these things. I just spoke them. Or other things that He shows you from my soul in Jesus' mighty name. And then wait. Tell it to go. I choose to loose all those things from my soul in Jesus' mighty name. Go. Then wait and allow heaven to intervene. They will pull from your soul all these things. You'll feel lighter. I know when I've done it, I felt lighter. It's like, wow, it's amazing. All right, number four, fill up. Ask the Heavenly Father to put into your souls His good things like His joy, love, shalom, His word, truth, revelation, wisdom, anything that is good, and then bind them to your soul in Jesus' mighty name. Then, after you do that, it's time for action. This has been a teaching that I have practiced much of this for many years. A mentor that taught me this, and more recently, a revelator by the name of Kat Kerr has given a greater in-depth. God told her how we can do this quickly. I've worked many years in Sozo ministry and deliverance and healing ministries, as well as the prophetic, and seen God do amazing things, loosing things from people's soul, removing things from them, healing their souls. But I have to say, this is one of the, Kat Kerr has shared from the Lord, has been one of the quickest things I've ever seen. I've done this in group settings and seen whole groups just delivered from it. It's powerful. So get a hold of this. Number four, the time for action is called repent. In Hebrew, The meaning of repent means more than just regretting what you've done. It means action. Without action behind it, it's not true repentance. I recall an encounter I had with a principality that I rebuked away, and people were so thrilled. I remember it left. It was a vision, and it was a real encounter. I remember saying in the vision, "But there's not been true repentance," and I knew it would return worse than before. And this was during 9/11, and we've seen this come to pass. It is now worse than it was before. But that's going to change. That's why I'm sharing this with you. The one repenting must resolve not to do the same thing again. That's got to be in your heart. I'm not going to go do it again. This is where some of the teachings on grace has been twisted and is not right. When they say, oh, you're saved, it's okay if you sin, it's okay if you go sleep with somebody, or it's okay if you do drugs, God will forgive you. That's not grace. Our Jesus did not take on the cross all those lashes, tearing his skin, all the stuff that he took on him, and great drops of blood, praying and going through the agonizing pain that he went through for you and me, and then went into hell and stripped the devil of all of his darkness and all of those jewels off of him, because he got the keys back from him. Jesus didn't do all of this just for you and I to go out and sin and say, oh, it's okay, we've been forgiven. No, no, no. He did that so we would have great grace to freely not sin, not to freely sin. Make sure you're listening to the right people. If they're telling you it's okay to sin, you need to run from that place. Get out of there. It's heresy. It's not right. It's not God. God will forgive you, but he's given us power to overcome and be overcomers. And he's given us that grace to supernaturally be an overcomer, to not sin. That's what our Jesus did, and he rose from the dead. And today is a day we celebrate that, Resurrection Day. Hallelujah. So one of the most miraculous things that can happen is when we ask his forgiveness, and then we repent and turn and go the absolute opposite direction, which is what repentance is. That's going in a new direction, in action, in deed, in words. The greatest miracle is that the Father actually cleans us up and brings him right back to us. That's an awesome miracle right there, that he first did it and that he can still do it when we mess up. Number 6, ask for his great grace. This is what I was talking about when I said that supernatural power to be able to overcome things. His great grace is that. He's given this to us. Ask for his great grace to be downloaded into your souls every day so that you're empowered to walk above and live powerful supernatural life in him, with him. When you've been forgiven, and got all the junk loosed from your multi-layered soul, then you can receive revelation and walk in it. You can freely love and live above sin by choice. Oh yeah, you can. As manifested sons and daughters, we can do what we were created to do. To see change in our spheres, it starts with each individual first. Then we can begin to step out in power and authority of Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:12 that we would do greater things than him, because he went to the Father. He's empowered us. He's left us with everything to do it. So as I was studying this, and as God was giving me those 6 things and those keys, this is the scripture that came that I want to go into right now about going forward, moving forward. Psalm 67, I'm going to read it. It's only 7 verses. God be merciful and gracious to us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us and among us. Selah. Pause and calmly think of that. That way, that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving power, your deliverances, and your salvation among the nations, all nations. Let the people praise you, turn away from their idols, and give thanks to you, God. Let all the peoples praise and give thanks to you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. You will judge the peoples fairly and guide, lead, or drive the nations upon the earth. Selah. Pause and calmly think of that. Let the people praise you, turn away from their idols, and give thanks to you, O God. Let all the people praise and give thanks to you. The earth has yielded its harvest in evidence of God's approval. God, even our own God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall reverently fear him. This is a very powerful chapter that David wrote. So when I look at these verses, that whole first part is where God bends down with favor, his face looking upon us, in other words. And then when you look at that word, it means sets us on fire. The word mercy, or shines his face upon us, rather, it means to set us on fire. So when he's looking at us, he's setting our hearts on fire, so we'll illuminate and shine. Also, the word glorious in the definition means to show his glory. That, beloved, is demonstration of his supernatural power and light in and through each of us. It's why Jesus said, "Let your light shine." It's to reveal who our Father in heaven is and to show to whom we belong. Why? Look at verse 2. That your way, that's God's way, may be known upon the earth. Your saving power, your deliverances, and your salvation among all the nations. Okay? This demonstration is Jesus is the Savior, the healer, deliverer, and much, much more. That's John 14:12. He said, we'll do this. We are to demonstrate this according to what he said. So that his way, his course of life, mode of action, kingdom, in other words, be made known upon the earth. By the way, that word saving power in there, it also translates to deliverance, salvation, and healing. That is actually the definition of Jesus' name, which represents the actual nature of our Heavenly Father. That's why it's the name above all names. Jesus, his name in heaven was the Word. His Father named him Jesus because he perfectly represented the attributes of himself. All right, so then we see the verses. It says, let the people praise. It also implies in Hebrew to lift up their hands. That's awesome. That means when they see God being shown through us on this earth, they're gonna lift their hands up to praise him. And it says, and the people sing for joy. That word also translates shouts. You know, like you think at a ball game when your team wins, you know, woohoo, yeah. Well, in heaven, I'm told when something happens, they go, woohoo, and I'm glad about that. So we need to shout that often, every victory we see in Jesus. So people shout when they're healed or they're saved. They realize the living God has come inside of them and loves them. That's what we did. That's what I did. When people are set free from bondages, they shout and sing, even dance for joy. They give thanks to the Lord. The end result? The blessings of harvest. I believe that harvest in the scripture on that last verse is not just prosperity, because as our soul prospers, we'll be in health because our souls are prospering. Your soul prospers when you grow and when you get things off of it that's not like God. His shalom shall have no end, nor his government will there be any. There will be an increase. Shalom is all good things, including the peace that we know as tranquility. It's also prosperity. It's his government, his kingdom. He's saying everything about his kingdom is going to increase. We're the increasers. We're left here to be the change agents, if you will. The ambassadors, the manifested sons and daughters of the King of Glory. So how do we engage? We're to command the hosts. What? Yeah. We're to command the host. I used to think that the armor of God was the weapons of warfare. But it's not. It's armor. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, not made of flesh, but supernatural, spiritual. We can't do this. However, our God has given us weapons that are spiritual, and they are called the hosts of heaven. And they are put here to go out at our command. They will do his will. Why? Because they are created to do what God says, and they recognize him inside of us. They're not created to protect heaven. The Father's not intimidated by darkness. The enemy is not, nor will he ever be equal to God. Ever. The hosts of heaven are created to war on our behalf. They will hearken to the voice of his word, which, beloved, comes out of our mouths, because the very Holy Spirit of God is inside of us, inside of me, inside of you who've received Jesus and asked the Holy Spirit to come in, invited him, invited Jesus. That is why. So don't worry. If you speak something out of your flesh, they're not going to respond. Hosts won't respond to that. They will recognize his voice coming out of our mouths because they recognize his word and his will. Want to be deadly to the enemy? I just heard Cat Curse share a revelation on this that I'm going to share with you. Command the host of heaven to go smash, trash, and shred the plans of the enemy over everything you see or hear that's not the plans of God Almighty. Example, ISIS, ISIL, that junk. Over your own families, even. Have them smash and shred and trash the enemy's schemes and plans and strategies over your family. Then send them to smash those demonic plans and strongholds coming against your loved ones in the name of Jesus. This is what we do. Tell those hosts of heaven that Jesus sent them. And have the host of heaven send those devils to dry, arid places. Bam! This, beloved, is the weapons of our warfare. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, the weapons of our warfare are not flesh. Cool. So praise, beloved. Remember, our singing praise pulls us closer to our Father and to Jesus. Takes us to a place of restoration, relief, joy, peace, refreshing. We need to do this. Even lay on the floor, listening to worship sometimes, along with great dancing, singing, and shouting, and thanksgiving to Him. David, the warrior, recognized this. Remember, when you're in His presence praising Him, you get joy. There's joy, and the joy of the Lord is what gives you strength. It's why being in His presence is so important. I've heard that the Father's not bringing a revival, quote, but coming for a habitation this time. I believe that. He's awakening many for this holy habitation. So let's get on board. You know, now is the time to do it. May we each pray for one another to keep persevering, not giving up or giving in, but regularly doing all the above things that have been shared so we can see His glory revealed on this earth, His will, His way. I love you guys, and I bless you, and I pray that this will help you in your journey. See you later.